Blog Talk Radio.
Want to thank you. That was Gratitude by Pastor Alicia C. Gratitude. And she just said, I want to thank you. Amen. That was from her CD called Gratitude. And you can pick that up at iTunes or just search out her name, Pastor Alicia Cooper, on Facebook. You want to connect with her. She's a powerful woman of God over at the church in Jersey City, Higher Heights. Higher Heights in Jersey City. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I want to welcome you to the Woman to Woman broadcast. It's a blessing and an honor to be with you on today, and I'm just so happy. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm rejoicing and being glad, and I am happy. You know, it's a battle. You know, I posted on the Woman to Woman Empowerment group on yesterday that there's warfare against your transition. There is warfare against your transition, and that's a word for somebody on today. God is taking you places in Him. He's taking you to higher heights. He's taking you to deeper depths. God is taking you into your appointed time, into your appointed season with Him. And because the devil knows that it's time, that your time is near for you to give God the glory, he is launched an all-out attack against your destiny. So he's trying to stop you. There is a warfare in the middle of your transition. There's a warfare against your transition because it's a truth for it to be told. The devil doesn't want you to move out of your comfort zone. He doesn't want you to move from the place that you're in to where the place that God has ordained for you to be. But guess what? The devil is already defeated. No weapon formed against you can prosper. God shall have what he said he shall have take place in your life. God says he's watching over his word to perform it. So be certain. Be certain that God is watching over his word to perform it in your life. So God bless you. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. I'm so blessed and honored to be able to come here with the Woman to Woman broadcast on a weekly basis. I want to welcome guest 4392 and also Sherry Jones in the chat room, and also welcome you to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-4832, 646-652-4832, and you can call in at any time during the broadcast to let your voice be heard. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you, and we magnify your name. We thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made, and we are rejoicing and being glad in it. Lord, I thank you for each and every person, Father God, who's tuning into the broadcast today. I thank you for those who are calling in, oh God. I thank you for those who are in the chat room, oh God. And Lord, I just ask, Father God, that you speak a word, Father God, to our hearts, Lord, that will encourage us, that will empower us, that will inspire us, and keep us moving forward in you. So, Lord, we just thank you on today, and we just ask that you have your way during this time. Save souls, change lives, set the captives free, set some on purpose, fill us with power, oh God. And, Father God, put some more wind in ourselves. So, Lord, we just thank you, and we praise you, and we give you the glory. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, my Lord and my Savior, that I pray. Amen and praise God. Hallelujah. Well, again, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I thank you for tuning in. By way of announcement, I want to invite you to join me over at the Woman to Woman Empowerment Group on Facebook. Just if you're not a friend of mine, just connect with me, Pastor Rebecca Simmons, on Facebook, and request to be added to the Woman to Woman Empowerment Group. There's a group of about 400-plus women over there who are filled with the fire of God, and we take time daily to empower each other. So there's so many people. I'm not the only one. There's so many people making so many valuable contributions to that particular group, and you're welcome to join us. So I want to welcome you to join us and to be a part of the Woman to Woman Empowerment Group on Facebook. Or you can do a search for the Woman to Woman Empowerment Group, and you'll see me there and ask to join. Ask to join the Woman to Woman Empowerment Group, and just ask to join, and we'll be more than happy to have you be a part of that particular group. Then I want to invite you to go over to my Facebook page, my Facebook page. There's a sermon that I preach, A Position for Miraculous Manifestation. I had to get the title right. Position for Miraculous Manifestation, and that sermon in its entirety has been posted on my Facebook page. It's also on YouTube. If you look for NCCM, the Kingdom Church, you'll find it on YouTube. But it's also on my Facebook page, and it's going to be on my website I want to share that word with you because I believe that God is getting ready to miraculously manifest himself in the lives of those who are looking for him, who are seeking after him and longing after him. The Bible says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longeth after you. And I believe that's what's happening in the kingdom of God today. So much is going on in the kingdom. So many people are losing faith and losing their footing. So many people are slipping and falling, and so much is going on, losing hope and being discouraged. But there are a remnant of us. There's a remnant that is determined to continue to press on with Jesus. And I know that you are a part of that remnant. If you're listening to the sound of my voice, I want you to know that God has more for you. So don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Don't quit. Listen. Don't quit because you're too close to your destiny to quit. It's too soon to quit. God is about to bless you in a great way, but you have to continue to press. Amen. You have to continue to press. So I want to invite you to go over to my Facebook page and hear that sermon. Hear that sermon in its entirety because it's a word and it's going to bless you. Amen. Amen and praise God. Thank God for technology. Speaking of technology, I want to encourage you to call in. I have a brand new studio. Hallelujah. A brand new studio. Hallelujah. There's a brand new studio here. And it looks good. Hallelujah. It's a brand new studio. This is high tech. This is high tech. What Blog Talk Radio has done with this studio is high tech. The chat room is right here on the switchboard. All of my sound bites are here. My music is here. My phone callers, I can see them all on one screen. I used to have to go to two different screens, but I can see everything on one screen now. The only problem is by now I normally have callers. And I'm not seeing any callers. So we want to test the lines. I'm going to open up the phone lines. I have empowerment moments that I want to share with you. And Pastor Anthony is coming with our marriage moments. But I want to open up the phone lines just to see if my brand new studio is working properly. You can call in to 646-652-4832. 646-652-4832. Let your voice be heard. Amen. And also, I want to encourage you to let somebody know about the Woman to Woman Show. Let them know that the Woman to Woman Show with Pastor Rebecca is on the air. And they can listen by calling 646-652-4832. Or they could go to blogtalkradio.com/power and listen to me that way. But either way, I want you to spread the word. Go to Facebook, Twitter, and let somebody know that the Woman to Woman Show is on the air. So I want to test the switchboard, ask somebody to call me, and let me know if so we can find out if the switchboard is working. You're on the air. It's the 4th of July. What are you doing this weekend? What are you looking forward to? I talked about transition earlier. Is God transitioning you? What kind of warfare are you having as a result of that transition? What kind of warfare are you having as a result of that transition? I want you to just give me a call and let me know what's going on with you and how God is blessing you through this time. Amen? So while I'm waiting for the switchboard to light up, because I know that so many people are going to be calling in, it's just going to be a live and vibrant and a full broadcast on today. I declare it in the name of Jesus. So while I'm waiting for you to call, I want to share something with you. Can I share something with you? Let me share with you from the book of John. I want to share something that the Lord showed me today, and it was just so powerful. Because what I'm finding is a lot of us are struggling, you know, just struggling, you know, struggling to live right. And I want to just share this word that the Lord gave me on today. I was reading John. I've been reading John. God bless you, guest 4719. Welcome to the Woman to Woman broadcast. And I'm just getting ready to share a line. I was saying the switchboard is open. I was getting ready to share a word. The switchboard is open, 646-652-4832. You can call in. The phone lines are open. Well, let me share this particular verse with you from Scripture. Amen. John chapter 9. Hallelujah. And let's look at verse 1. It says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But I really want to talk about that first part of the scripture. The man was born blind, and the disciples asked Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And that's what I want to say to you on today, that God wants to make his works manifest in your life. And when you think about that word manifest, it means to be seen, to be visible, to be tangible. This is a time in the season of the life of the believer where God wants to manifest. He wants to show himself mighty in your life. Listen, some of you have been waiting a long time for God to show up and show out in your life. And God is saying that the time is now. There's an appointed time. It's called the Kairos time. There's an appointed time for God to show up, and this is that appointed time. This is your due season. If you're listening to the sound of my voice, you've been, you know, there's somebody out there, you've been pressing and you've been believing God. You've been praying, you've been fasting, you've been going to church, doing the work of the ministry, paying your tithes or giving your tithes. You have been obedient to God. You've been as obedient as you can possibly be, and you've been hoping and praying for a change. And God is saying, today is the day of jubilee for you. Today is the day of great release. Today is the day of great release. And what you have to do is grab a hold of that. See, so often God will give us a word, and we'll hear that word. That word will quicken our spirit. We'll leave the place that we heard the word, and we will forget about the word. And, you know, I talked in the sermon, and I told you about earlier about the sowing of the seed. You have to realize that the word is the seed. And when you come to a place like this, when you come to a prophetic place and word is being poured forth, that seed is being sown into your life. And God is releasing his word because you've been looking for a word. You've been looking to hear from God. You're saying, God, I need to hear from you. I need to hear from you. God has been silent. It seems like God has been silent in some of your lives. And you have been praying and asking God to let you hear from him. And God is saying, today you're hearing from me. And I'm telling you that it's your due season. This is your Kairos time. The seed has been sown. Listen, Galatians 6:9 tells us that God is not mocked. That God is not mocked. It said, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. It says, he who sows to the flesh reaps corruption, but he who sows to the spirit reaps life, eternal life, life everlasting. And that word for life is Zoe or Zeo. I haven't looked at it lately, but either one of those words, Zoe, Z-O-E, or Zeo, Z-A-O, both of them signify abundant life. Let me say it again. He says you reap life eternal life for eternity, eternal life, Zoe, life. The word for life is Z-O-E or C-A-O. And either way, that word means the blessed life, a better life, life overflowing with milk and honey. Milk, your necessary food, and honey, the very thing that you've been asking for God in the, by the way of abundance, your blessing, your luxuries in life. God wants to give you the necessities, and he also wants to give you some luxuries. God wants to give you what you need, and he wants to give you what you want. Amen. The Bible talks about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything that you need will be added unto you. But God also talks about delighting yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Amen. Amen. So I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to encourage you to continue to delight yourself in the Lord. And I'm also here to exhort you not to grow weary in well-doing, because in due season, you're going to reap your harvest. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, that you're going to reap. If you have been sowing to spiritual things, see, a lot of people just kind of like gloss over that part. And we want to talk about grow not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap a harvest if you faint not. Now, that's good news, because that's an ironclad guarantee that if you continue to reap, that if you continue to sow, that in due season you're going to reap a harvest if you faint not, if you don't give up, if you don't quit. That's why I told you earlier that you can't quit, because it's too soon to quit. Amen. So here God is saying in the word in Galatians 6:9, when he begins to talk about not fainting, he goes on to say that in that same area, I guess I need to turn to and get Galatians, God talks about the fact that if you sow to the Spirit, you shall reap life. You shall reap Zoe, the blessed life, abundant life, life more abundantly. So as you're sowing to spiritual things, you're going to reap life. God's going to bless you. My God, that's basically what the word is saying, is as you sow to spiritual things, as you sow to the spiritual things. How do I sow to the spiritual things? Listening to broadcasts like this. I mean, I know it's a radio show, but there's nothing more. I mean, I tell you, I don't know how many. I know there are a lot of broadcasts out there, but this is definitely a spiritual broadcast. You know, I don't come to play host, radio host. I come to be a blessing, amen, to sow the word of God, to sow encouragement, to sow exhortation, to sow empowerment into your lives, amen, to those who will listen. So if you sow into the spirit, man, amen, so you're sowing to the spiritual things. That means you're sowing to your spirit. Man, you're sowing to your spirit. Spiritual part of yourself and not to your flesh. So you're sowing by listening to the word, by listening to people who are teaching the word of God. I'm not talking about fluff, but I'm talking about the unadulterated word of God. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry for the pure word of God. Listen, don't sell me a dream. Just give me the word, because the word is going to keep me alive. Alive, amen. The word is going to keep us alive, amen. So get to a place where you can hear God's word, because that word is going to quicken your soul. And not only is it going to quicken your soul, but it acts as a double-edged sword, and it goes into your soul and cuts all that mess out. So if you really want to be healed, delivered, and walking in victory, keep sowing the word. Keep that word coming in. God bless you. Amen. Keep that word coming in. Do not despise getting to a place where the word can be sown into your spirit. Don't just spend time sitting up in church, but make sure that you're in the place where the word is going for. Amen. So you're sowing to spiritual things by listening to the word, and then by reading the word, studying the word of God. David said, your word have I hid in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Listen, this is a time of warfare. You know, I talked about it earlier. There is a warfare against your transition. As God is moving you higher and higher in him, as he's moving you to be truly seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, there's going to be all-out war against that destination, against you reaching that destination. So what you have to do is determine in your heart that I'm not going to sow to the flesh. You know, how do we sow to the flesh? By watching things that are carnal, like I'm going to sit all day and watch R-rated movies. Not. No, I'm not. I'm not letting that garbage into my spirit. Listen, I'm not knocking anybody who sits and watch R-rated movies, but I'm saying to you, what goes in to your spirit, man, is what is going to come out. That's what Galatians is telling us in chapter 6. What you put in is what's going to manifest on the outside. We're talking about spiritual farming. you know, where you begin to sow like a farmer and you're planting seeds. You're not going to plant corrupt seeds. A farmer is not going to plant corrupt seeds because what? Their harvest is going to be corrupt. Their harvest is not going to be good for anything. That's why God tells us to guard our hearts, because out of the heart come all of the issues of life. So what kind of seed are you going to plant to your spirit, ma'am? Are you going to plant good seed, the word of God, some good preaching, some good teaching of the gospel, reading the word, good gospel music that speaks of the glory of God, that glorifies God, good fellowship where you're talking to each other in Psalms, where you're good wisdom, amen, where somebody's giving you the wisdom of Solomon, amen, where they have studied the Proverbs and they're able to dispense that wisdom. These are the things that we want into our lives, because God, again, is transitioning us. The earth is being shaken. The earth is being shaken. The whole world is being shaken. And only those of us who are really truly standing for Christ and who really are rooted and grounded in the things of God and who have been sowing spiritual seed, good spiritual seed, good seed to our spirit, man, we're going to be the ones left standing. And let me tell you this, God is going to get the glory out of your life. I tell you, he's speaking to me, I believe it's Isaiah 6, where the Bible talks about, let me just go over there real quick, because I want you to know the phone lines are open. You can call in 646-652-4832. I'm just sharing, the Lord wanted me to share to you today, so I'm just sharing something that I believe is going to, I'm sharing something prophetically with you that's going to minister to you, I know it's ministering to you. But God talks in the Bible about the world, the earth being filled with his glory. And God wants you to know that you have been chosen. If you're a child of God, or if you're listening to the sound of my voice, you have been chosen to be a vessel of God's glory. And Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, it reads, and that's someone's alarm going off right outside my door. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. And see, let me just say, I got to talk on that. There's an alarm being sounded. You know, the Bible tells us to blow the trumpet. Listen, God has a great plan for your life. I'm blowing the trumpet. Don't be deceived. Do not let any enemy, do not let any person distract you. Yes, that's a good word, Sherry, Pastor Sherry Jones. Do not let the devil distract you and get you off course from what God has for you. Amen. God has something awesome for you. God has something wonderful for you. Here, Sherry Jones is saying Satan wants to distract us from the goal. That's right. He wants to distract us from the goal. And she says that whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute, think on these things, right from the book of Philippians chapter 4. And here she's agreeing that we're earthen vessels. We are vessels of God's glory. Amen. And what God is saying, that the alarm is being sounded, because, listen, Satan is very serious about stealing your destiny. And what's your destiny? To be manifested as a vessel of God's glory. See, God has already spoken what he's spoken about you. And it's just a matter of you receiving the word of God over your life and you letting God be God in your life, letting him be glorified in your life, and letting him be made manifest in your life where he truly is getting your glory. In other words, getting the glory in your life. In other words, that men and women will look on your life and glorify God. My God, I just said something right there. God wants us, see, it's too much going on. I'm sounding an alarm. There's too much going on in the news. Too many people are falling. Too many great people are falling. God bless you, a word for you. I see you there. God bless you. Too many people are falling. Too many people are falling. Do you hear me? There's a sense of urgency in what I'm saying. The very elect are being deceived. God has elevated people to prestige, and they are falling right in front of the world. Amen. And they're being deceived. And God is saying that does not have to be your story. See, Uzziah in Isaiah 6 said, Isaiah. And chapter 6 said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood all the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then it goes on to say, Then one of the seraphim flew unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid that coal upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. My God. See, Isaiah had a vision of the Lord seated on the throne. The seraphim was there, and they were praising the Lord. And they were crying out, Holy, holy, holy. And we have to get to the point again, people of God, where we cry out, Holy, holy, holy. We have to get to the point where we cry out, Holy is the Lord God Almighty. And how many of us can cry, for my eyes have seen the Lord? See, I think that's why we're having so much problem just keeping ourselves holy. You know, he said, Woe is me, I am undone. That's the reverence that Isaiah had for the Lord. And then he says, I'm unclean lips. I'm not pompous. He wasn't pompous. He wasn't full of pride. He wasn't puffed up. He was saying, you know what? I don't even deserve to be in the presence of the Lord. And then he says, My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Have you seen Jesus? That's what I want to ask you. Have you seen Jesus? You know, when are we going to get to the point where we're seeing God again, where we're spending time on our face, really spending time with God? Because, listen, my heart is breaking. Yes, too many women are falling. Too many men are falling. You know, our children are still, not our children. I'm not going to say our children, but there are children out there that are still being molested. See, you got to watch your mouth. I tell my husband all the time, I'm not confessing that over my kids, and I'm not confessing it over your kids. But there are children out there who are being molested. There are children out there who are being abandoned. There are children out there who are being abused. There are Christians out there who can't, say they can't stop drinking, smoking, whoring around, fornicating. There are Christians out there who say that they can't stop. And I'm saying to you that the devil is a liar. And he's already defeated. Listen, he picked up the live coal. The seraphim picked up the live coal. I didn't mean to do this. God is speaking. Because I'm flowing, okay? And then I'm taking some calls. The switchboard is open, 646-652-4832. But Isaiah said, and I'm going to stop with this, I believe. Isaiah said, one of the seraphims came unto him having a live coal, a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from off with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. What is your cry to the Lord? Where's your area? that you need to have the live coal placed on so that your sin would be purged, so your iniquity would be taken away. Is it your mouth? Is, you know, it's amazing that it was his mouth, because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the power of life and death is in the tongue. So God probably just needs to deal with our mouths, and as he deals with our mouths, then our lives will line up. My God, thank you, Jesus. See, as God begins to deal with the words that come out of our mouths, see, in Ezekiel, he says, I'll give you another heart. He says, I'll take away your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh and move you to obey my commandments. See, what's wrong with the word of God? People, somebody help me. Help me. What's wrong with the word of God? What? I'm mad at the devil. I'm so mad at the devil. I'm mad at hell today. I'm mad at the devil because the gates of hell are trying to prevail against the church. And the Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. So where are we going wrong? We need to get back into the presence of the Lord. We need to get closer to the fire. We need to go to the altar. We need to have fire coming forth from the altar. See, the altar today in today's church, we preach from the pulpit, which is the altar is right in front of the pulpit, right? So there's a problem. There must be a problem with the words coming forth from the pulpit, because there has to be fire on the altar, my God. And the prophet Elijah called for fire to the altar, amen. He put the sacrifice on the altar and called for fire from heaven. And that's what we need to do. We need to get back to calling for fire from heaven. The words that we speak, they have to contain some fire. For the preachers out there, you know, for those of you in ministry, our words, you know, it's not the sound of my voice, the volume of my voice. It's not if I have a hoot or a holler or if I breathe a certain way. It's not what I excite your emotions, but do I have some fire? Is there any anointing coming forth from my belly? The Bible says that rivers of living water shall flow from your belly. Do you have the anointing, preacher, where we can break some yokes? Not only break them, because somebody once said that if you break a yoke, it could be fixed, but where we can destroy the yoke of sin in our lives, amen, in the lives of the people. I don't want my destiny to be stolen and going back to the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. I don't want my destiny to be stolen, amen, from the devil. Listen, how many of you out there would admit that the devil done stole from you long enough? The devil... Go ahead. Pastor Sherry Toes is in there in the chat room. She said, fire, fire. My God, I need some fire, dunamis, dynamite, power. You know, I need some fire, you know. And only by living a, listen, let me say this. Only by living a consecrated life are we going to be able to manifest fire from our bellies. See, because sin quenches the spirit. I know you didn't tune in for this. But when we're in disobedience, see, we cannot tap into the anointing. See, what the devil wants to do, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and the way he does that is through deception. So as long as you're deceived, as long as I'm deceived, we have no power. As long as we're deceived, we have no power. And I don't know about you, I was getting ready to say it earlier, and I'm going to say it right now, but I'm sick and tired of the devil stealing from me. See, I'm tired of the devil stealing my joy, stealing my peace, stealing my purpose, stealing my power. See, but let me offer this to you. The devil cannot steal anything from you that you do not allow him to steal. The devil cannot steal anything from you that you do not allow him to steal. You have the power over the enemy. You have been given power and authority over the devil. That's just the truth. So I want to encourage you to walk in your power. And back to the scripture where I was talking about in John chapter 9. Yeah. Sherry Jones said, I'm sick and tired. I am sick and tired. Tired and sick of the devil. Not sick and tired in my body, but I'm through with the devil. I'm through with him. You hear me? The only thing I want to do is continue to defeat him. Keep him under my feet where he belongs. He has no power. He has no dominion. He has no authority in my life. And that's what you have to confess. He has no power, no dominion, no authority in your life. Listen, when you get to that point when you're walking, I feel God right now. And the power of the Lord just came over me. And I'm going to have to open up these phone lines because I'm going to start preaching if I don't. But when you get that kind of authority, you know, exousia, I talk about that in my book, Don't Die in the Wilderness, that we've been given power, dunamis, and exousia, authority. We've been given power and authority, dunamis and exousia. And when you're walking in the fullness of your power, amen, when you have Father, Son, and Holy Ghost dwelling on the inside of you because you're abiding and remaining and obeying and loving, people will start coming to you. You will change the world. Listen, God will show you people, and they will start coming to you, asking you for prayer. They'll come asking you for counsel. They'll come asking you, what must I do to be born again, like Nicodemus when he came to Jesus. People will come to you, and that's what I'm talking about, having an irresistible anointing on your life where people are going to come to you. They're going to either come to you or they're going to be repelled by you because they're not going to want any part of it. They won't be ready. But in due season, God is going to there are people that are going to come to you and they're going to get saved. The eyes of the blind, as I was reading from John chapter 9 when I first started the broadcast today, the eyes of the blind are going to be opened up and people are going to be able to see again. Listen, let me just say this. I have a new switchboard. I don't know how to know if somebody wants to talk because it doesn't have a hand raised here. So we'll see what happens, okay? Because you can call in, and if you want to be on the air, just raise your hand. I don't see any hands raised, so I'm going to just talk for a few more minutes. But let me just say this. There are some of you who are going through some things in your life right now that you didn't cause. You're not the one who caused yourself to be going through what you're going through right now. You're going through what you're going through right now so that God could get the glory in your life. You didn't sin to cause this. This is not a consequence. It's not a punishment. It's not a repercussion. It's just something that God allowed to happen in your life so that he could get the glory. So you get ready. Get ready for God to get some glory out of your life. Listen, God is getting ready to get the glory in your life. Amen. There's some things that God is getting ready to do in your life, and you get ready. Just get ready. I see the hand raised. Amen. So we have a caller. I'm going to put this caller on the air. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Sherry Jones.
Amen. God bless you. You're on the air. Welcome to Women to Women.
What? Thank you so much. You have been preaching what I need to hear today.
My God.
And I just wanted to call you in and just call in and say thank you so much. I had left the house this afternoon. And with my three scriptures, I had three scriptures on me.
Uh-huh.
I had be anxious for nothing from Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and 8. And I had Exodus 15, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and his rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will extol him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. And I was carrying those scriptures because I had to go to war on my heart because I was worrying about something. And worry couldn't change it. Worry wasn't going to make any difference about it. And every time my thoughts change to worry and start thinking ahead and, well, suppose this don't happen or suppose this happen, I got out my scriptures, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. I just kept using the scripture on it.
That's good.
Because it changes your thoughts. It changes your
thoughts. Talk to me about that a little bit. So, because I was talking to a young lady about that last night who was in warfare against her destiny. And tell me about that. So you're a woman of God, and you've been walking with God for a while. And you have some certain victories in your life already. So now at this mature stage, you have some warfare coming against your thoughts. And you pulled out the scripture. Now, tell me how that works. I mean, okay, I'm having warfare. Tell my listeners how that works. I'm having warfare against my mind, and I'm going to read some Bible verses. How is that
going
to help?
Because I come from the 12-step culture, and they talk about garbage in and garbage out, that you got to get the garbage out so you can put new thoughts in. And, you know, the whole idea is that whatsoever man thinketh that he is, then I need to change how I think. If I'm not thinking what the Bible says I have, then and I'm thinking on the negative thoughts, then I'm worrying. And Bible says be anxious for nothing. So what I need to do, and what someone helped me so much with understanding what Rhema was, and when people talk about Rhema, they talk about the Logos. The Logos is that written word, what we see here in the Bible. And the Rhema is a specific word for a specific issue or circumstance. So if I'm worrying or if I'm anxious, then I need to go to the scriptures and say and see what it says about being anxious. Even in the book of Luke in the 13th chapter, Jesus says, don't be anxious.
Yeah.
That if God is going to take care of the sparrows, if he's going to take care of the lilies, if he's going to, and clothe them, then he'll do the same for you. And aren't you worth more than that? You know, so I have to go to the word and get the specific word for the situation that I'm going through, and that was worry, was like anxiety, okay? And I may be mature in the Lord, but I still go through times where I am challenged in my faith to walk by faith. And when situations seem so dire, you know, that there is no answer, there's no way, you can't answer it in your flesh. You got to wait on God. And so in waiting on God, even in the midst of waiting, you may get a little anxious because, God, you're not answering that quick. You know, I need this now. And God is God. But here's the other thing about that. God is asking me to grow to another level in
my
this
goodness,
area. Say, in one area, I may have faith and have no problem. Okay? Say in the area of addiction. I may have been, you know, that may have been where I fell at long ago, and God has delivered and healed me. Now, I may be in a place where that's not an issue for me anymore. I can go past liquor. I can go past drugs. I can be with people who are doing it, and it doesn't affect me at all. But in another part of my walk in life, when I don't have the money I need or the money I want, and bills are due, I may not have the faith for that at that mature level. And God is saying, come up. Trust me. Put this word to test in this area as well as you put it in the area of addiction. So, that's what really, for me, was really a challenge. When you started talking about thoughts, I had to change my thoughts. And sometimes we are not aware of what we're thinking. Is that amazing? How can you not be aware of what you're doing? Or you're not aware of what you're feeling. You don't know until something pops up, and it may be something physical. All of a sudden, the doctor tells you you have irritable bowel syndrome. What does that mean? You've been stuffing things in your belly? And not only stuffing things in your belly, you've been stuffing thoughts and emotions in your belly that don't belong there. You've been swallowing stuff. And not in touch with it. And so when God puts us in touch with the emotion and he puts us in touch with the issue, because if you ask him, he will do it. Search me, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me. And if you ask him, he'll show you. And when he shows you, then you look for the scripture. You ask the Holy Ghost to help you with that scripture. And if you don't have a concordance or the Strong's exhaustive concordance and can't find that word, then you say, Holy Ghost, I need you to lead me to the word. That is for the situation. Give me a rhema. I don't have to wait for a prophet. Give me the rhema. If you were given to me to lead and guide me into all truth, and that you're going to tell me what the Father said to the Son to me and for the future, then you surely can show me the word that you've inspired people to write that I need for this issue.
And that's the truth. Or lead me to a place where somebody is speaking that word. Even
that's
if I
right.
turn on a TV. Listen, God will meet you right where you are. And, you know, that's why I asked you to elaborate on that, because the thing about it is so often the devil will come in and say, you're feeling too bad. You know, you could be in the middle of a funk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you could be worrying like you were today. And the devil could get to you and say, oh, no, this is too bad. You already know the scripture. There's
mm-hmm.
no use in digging out scripture. There's no use in meditating on scripture.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and it's like him to do that, too.
Yeah. You're like, no, you've got this. You already know the scripture, but are you going to meditate on that scripture? And,
that's
you know,
right.
it's amazing. I taught on Wednesday night about cultivating godly success
mm-hmm.
and where in the book of Joshua, where the Lord told Joshua to meditate on the scripture day and night and not to let the book of the Lord depart from his mouth.
That's right. And that's
you know,
just what I did last night when I got it. Because I was sitting at my desk and reading the scripture, and I was going through Luke 13, and I'm reading it because it's this book I'm studying, right? Not so much, you know, devotionally. It was a book I'm studying. So, and it said, Jesus said, be anxious for nothing. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. I said, I'm taking that word. Where is that word? I'm going to go. And I went to Philippians, and I was like mad. I said, no, you're not. You are not going to get me into worry anymore. And I went to war.
And I
already had the scriptures written on my 3x5 cards. That I have a whole pile of them with a rubber band around them. And they were right on top. The only one I had to write new was the Exodus one, because once I got the word of what to do, be anxious for nothing, but prayer and supplication, and that he's going to keep in perfect peace. And when I get to the verse 8, it tells me how am I going to stay in that perfect peace. How am I going to meditate? I'm going to think on what's true and honorable and right and pure and lovely. And not only that, if anything is worthy of praise, let my mind dwell on these things. And so I got that. So how am I gonna keep my mind in perfect peace and all that? Well, I'm gonna keep my mind on these things. And what are these things? These things are worthy things. These are Jesus. I'm gonna keep my mind stayed on Jesus. I'm gonna keep my mind stayed on a God who wars for me. And that's how I got the Exodus passage.
And I love that. What was that particular text again? Exodus.
Exodus 15:1-3. It's right after the Red Sea is open. And
amen.
The drivers are killed by the water, and the whole thing is that we got a warrior God, we have a warrior God, and in Zephaniah 3:17, that warrior God sings over us with joy.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Let me just
I love
say
the word.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. God bless you. Hold on. God, hold on. I'm going to put this person on the air. I'm putting area code. I don't know if I could put area code 404 on the air, but I just want to say this. My auntie is listening, Evangelist Geneva Bartley, and I just want to say hello, auntie. God bless you. I'm so honored that you had time to stop in to listen to the broadcast on today. Powerful woman of God. I just wanted to say hello to her and acknowledge her. And let you know that Mom is in Florida, and she's been asking about you, Auntie. So I don't know if you could come on the air or not, but let you know that Mommy's in Florida. So I'll be giving you some information through Facebook, and I just continue to pray. Auntie, did you want to be on the air? I don't know. If you do, you could press 1, and I'll put you on the air. As a matter of fact, I think this is your area code. Stay with me. Stay with
sure.
me because she's at work.
Sure.
And I know she has, is that you, area code 404?
Great. And the plus,
she can. Okay, she can't be on the air. Okay, because she did say that she was at work. Okay, amen. So she can't be on the air, but I just want to acknowledge her. That's my father's sister
amen.
In Florida. And she stopped in. I tell you, this is an awesome woman of God, and she has encouraged me. When I first started to preach, she flew me to Florida and then said the Lord told her to have me come to her conference. And I was like, wow. So she was the first person that ever flew me anywhere for a preaching engagement. And right after that, I got offers coming from all over the place.
Amen.
And I was like, to God be the glory. He saw something in me that I didn't even see in myself.
Amen.
But you were saying earlier, I cut you off, and,
were
talking. And you were talking, because, you know, like I said, I had a sister that, and now we have another hand raised, too, and we're going to put this person on the air. Let's put this person on the air. Right after I finished this statement, I had a sister who called me, and she was struggling. And it reminds me, God reminded me, we're still going to struggle. There are times and areas where we would continue to struggle.
That's right.
But we have to fight it. We got to fight.
We've got a warrior God who's there with us.
But how do you fight? And I'm going to ask you this, and then I see you 973. I'm going to put you in the air, and then Pastor Anthony's going to come with the marriage moments. But I want to ask you, how do you fight, Pastor Jones?
How do I fight?
When a temptation is like so great, you can taste it. When you're like, and you know, you're me and I know we've both been delivered from some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you fight when you just, everything in you is just about to walk out the door and go jump right into that sin?
Well, the first thing comes to mind is what my spiritual mom taught me. She said, put the light on the devil. Tell somebody. Confess it. If it's just a thought, just say, this is a thought running through my head. If it's more than a thought, it's a desire, tell somebody. Because you know, once the thought, then the desire, then you're on your way. So you need to stop it. And as soon as you entertain it, as soon as it comes across your head, don't let yourself deal with it alone. Get some help. If it's two or three are gathered, if there's two or three gathered in his name and there he's in the midst, then I want him in the midst. And I want to talk to somebody else who loves the Lord as much as I do and has had more experience maybe, and you know that they're not a judger. You know what I'm saying? And that you can go to them and say, this is what I was thinking, this is what I'm struggling with, this is what I'm worrying about, whatever it is, and to be able to say it. And when you do that, you put the light on the devil and you're not fighting him alone. No one asked you to fight him alone. And, you know, the whole idea of draw nigh unto God, resist the devil, draw nigh unto God, that you don't fight him alone. You know? And so along with that, I get somebody else to fight, help me fight what I'm going through. Not only to keep me in prayer, but to keep me accountable.
Keep me accountable.
Keep me accountable. And so I that's the first thing I do. And once I do that, and then I have some people on my side, some people know what I'm dealing with, and I can keep accountable to them. They're calling me, I'm calling them, whatever the issue may be, then they're going to walk me through the process of coming out on the other end being victorious. But they're going to continually speak life to me, and they're going to be the people who keep God alive for me.
Amen.
Now, that's the clue. So the young woman talking to you is very important because she knows you speak life.
Yes.
So that's the most important thing for me, the first thing to do. And then you get the scripture yourself. And if you got to walk through your apartment, through your house, quoting that scripture, and you need to hear it in your ear because you talked about the ear gate and the eye gate, and you need to not only see it and read it, but you need to say it out loud. That's a part of the meditation. Meditation in that passage means to chew on it like a cow chews on cud. You know, you chew on that thing. So you carry your little 3x5 card, and you may look silly on the bus or when you stop at a red light, whatever, you pull that card out and you read that card because you're getting it in your head and in your imagination. And you keep doing that and you keep quoting it. So every time something comes up, you quote that scripture.
Amen. Amen. And that's the advice that, you know, I pretty much gave her. And, you know, I prayed with her. And, you know, we all have moments. You know, moments of and that's the thing I want to encourage anybody going through on today.
Mm-hmm.
You're not alone. See, it helps to know that there are others who have undergone the same type of struggle that you're undergoing right now.
Yes.
And that we you know, there are people that have that experience and that share your experience. And don't let the devil isolate you.
Amen.
And don't get to the point. You do mess up. don't get to the point where you feel like you got to go all the way now, or you know, that you have to give up and leave the church. See, that's what the devil wants us to do.
Yes.
He wants us to get so... See, that's why sin is such a trap, because once we sin... Oh, let me take this call. I'm going to take this call. We have to call a baby. Amen. Area code 973, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
Woo! Praise the Lord. Amazing woman of God. God bless you, preacher of preachers. Well, you know what I'm going to say. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I got my mind made up, and I won't turn back. I'm going to see my Jesus one day. Thank you, Pastor Rebecca Simmons. Thank you for allowing voices to be heard on today. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. It is such
Thank
a joy
Lord.
And a pleasure to be with you here today. Thank you so much for allowing me to call. You know I couldn't sit back too much long without raising my hand as led by God. But you know what you said? Sometimes you got to be sitting back and just being ministered to. I'm telling you, God gave you a powerful word on today. And once you went into John 9, 1 through 12, it has just been blessing my heart. If it's okay with you, I would just like to expound a little bit more, just bringing us back track from the beginning of the show, which was such a blessing to me. And God bless the sister on the line who has called in and hanging on in there with you, you know, also lifting up God's people and then putting an inspired word and empower other women on today. Thank God for her. But I'm telling you, the word of the Lord is true. And you know me, Pastor Rebecca Simmons. When I come, you know, I like to, like you, I like to come forth with the word of God and, you know, be able to expound on the word of God and, you know, stick with the word, because we know that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And long as we speak the word, as long as we speak the word, the truth, then we know that healing and deliverance is going to take place, praise God.
Amen.
So that's why I've been, you know, absolutely. I thank God so much, you know, for his word on today. So if it's okay with you, Pastor Brackett, just want to spend a few moments with you on your, what the Lord led you with in John 9, because it definitely has blessed my heart, beginning with verse 1. Ben, with the entire scripture. Pastor, listen, you know I can't come behind a preacher like you. You know, in no way I'm trying to come back. I just want to get back and, you know, I just want to go back to the beginning as you started the show, because this is such a powerful word. I just, you know, they have no desire for us to lose the word. You were just saying that. You know, we just have to stay in the word and have the word and, you know, let the light be a word, a light unto our path. Amen. So
yes.
I just want to focus on the word right now that the Lord has given you, with no disrespect to anyone, but just the word of God. I mean, the word that God has given you, which has inspired and empowered me, you know, at the very moment. Because when I think about it, as you, you know, focus on the word in John 9, starting with verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now, I was thinking about that. I said, Lord, how often we walk past, see someone that's hurting, see someone broken, see someone blind, if you will, in that respect, but we never stop. But this is the thing I love about Jesus. He always knew that he was on, you know, on his mission for God. And then verse 2 says, his disciple asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents that was born blind? Automatically, just like human nature, back in the day, his disciples thinking that someone had that, you know, had done sin, just like we do in the day. As soon as something go wrong, people think that somebody, you know, has done sin or something. That's not the case right there. Going down to verse 3, and Jesus answered, no, you're wrong. Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifested in your life. It's not always just thinking that someone has sinned is the reason why they're in this affliction. It's not always that they sin, you know, that they may be blind, but because I'm here to do a work from God. God wants to show himself mighty. So you see, this man, as you was preaching and teaching, Pastor Becca, he was blind from birth. God allowed that to happen. So oftentimes we are born with afflictions, such as in the case with my now nearly 7-year-old child, as we know my story, has been afflicted with autism and things of that nature. And when he was born at 6 months, he was diagnosed with sagittal craniotosis. I can't get the word out, but in layman terms, it was a skull defect. And prior to him going into surgery, I had the sinus release. I feel as though just sort of hospital wouldn't be, of course, held responsible. That's just my personal opinion. But nonetheless, he is listed with the state of New Jersey as a child that was born with a defect. Now, was that God's perfect will and plan for his life? I'm just saying God's will be done. Because in the end, once he had the operation, you know, it was just done. So there's a thing right there. So, you know, that's what God wanted to manifest it. And I'm telling you, once he went through his surgery, nobody but God could have taken a nine-month-old child who never was asked to be in this world, for one, never knew of anything in the world, and then three, also didn't have any clue what was happening to his life. But he was born, unfortunately, with a his soft spot, which was on the top of his head. His soft spot was closed prematurely. Now, who could have allowed that to happen? It wasn't no fault of his mother. It wasn't no fault of his dad, per se, if you will. Nothing that we could detect that was genetically, you know, that could,
right,
you know, made it happen. But only for God,
right,
because I tell you, at 6 months, the way it was detected, I had received notification in the mail that my son was able to receive free medical services within our community. And first thing I wanted to know was where did this information had come from, you know? So I followed up with the hospital, and they explained this is what they do with new moms and parents and things of that nature. But let me just tell you, I thank God for obedience. I thank God for ordering my steps. If the notice had not sent to me, and I had not opened the mail, did not follow up with the mail, and still went to the clinic, I probably up until this date would have never known. The moment I showed up with my son and had to accept the appointment just to follow up, the moment I showed up at the appointment, he walked in the room, the pediatrician turned around and looked at him. The first thing she said was, "Do you see his head?" And I'm like, oh, my God, I knew I could see this from birth. But, like, you know how the old wives tell you, they say, you know, you have to shape your baby hairs or something like that. And
yeah.
I was like, I knew something, but I couldn't figure it out. I wasn't wise enough, or at least God, as I could see it, wasn't cluing me in, but until we actually got to the doctor. And the next thing we know, my son had an appointment scheduled to go to a specialist, you know, things of this nature, and that's when he was diagnosed with that. And I'm telling you, the way I understand it, this birth defect was one where it caused his skull to grow long and narrow like the shape of a football, which in layman's terms means that if it was not corrected, if the possibility, and just the thought of the possibility of knowing that his skull was growing, because the skull, what I learned was the skull and the brain grow simultaneously from birth.
Uh-huh.
Now, granted, the skull already is growing in long and narrow, which means that if they had the possibility, if not corrected, to squeeze against the brain, which in return could cause a mental retarded child. That was
my
a chance
God.
I was not willing to take, not willing. We went to multiple specialists, got multiple received multiple, results in that regard, the prognosis, and I'm looking at this CAT scan, and I can clearly see what has happened there. But what did I doubt at one point in time that this was something that God wasn't going to handle? Absolutely not. I knew it. So going through that period, I said, Lord, I thank you. Yes, he did give me his word. He had given me John 11 at the point where, you know, when Lazarus had died, and then Jesus knew he had every intent to raise him up from the dead. Because, again, and back in the scripture in Luke 11, that's what Jesus was saying. He already knew what he was assigned to do. Jesus wasn't dead. He told Mary and Martha and the like, what did he say? He wasn't
dead,
in his
right.
disciples. Right. He said he's not dead. He's just asleep. But when Jesus
right.
came on the scene, they went through all their emotional and, you know, and all the emotional drama and whatever have you. But when Jesus got to the scene, what did he do? He just spoke. He just spoke the word. He called Lazarus' name and told him to come up. Just come out. And you know, the word tells us how Lazarus rose from the dead. He was resurrected. He was rose from the dead. And then the Bible tells us and goes on to explain how his grave clothes were, you know, had fallen off him. So when I got to the end of the scripture of chapter 11 of John, I said, Lord, well, what is this you saying to me with regard to my son and I? And I believe the Lord had birthed his word in me at the time and gave me this and said, the condition. He said, my son's condition was my condition, because I couldn't tie it. And he said, whatever God was doing in my son, he was going to be working out in me in the process. And I'm telling you, nobody but God. Because what it did in the process was definitely increase my faith and you know what I'm saying, and restored strength and things of that nature that I definitely needed to go on with God. But nobody but God. So we see in this case again, the man was born blind, and Jesus passed by. Thank God for Jesus passing by even in our lives today. Glory, hallelujah. He is still passing by. When men are looking us over, God is still passing by. And so we know here in verse 4, he said to the disciples, back up in 3, this is what he told him. He said, listen, he didn't sin again. Man, our natural thinking, always want to think when things happen, you know that it had to come from sin. Now, granted, we understand my story, and we understand that my child was one that was born out of wedlock, but who was to say it was the act of sin was the reason because of his birth defect? Not so when God was all said and done, because I'm telling you, God was glorified. So with that being said, that's the first thing we want to think. We often want to think is that sin has taken place, is the reason why you've been afflicted. But Jesus corrected the disciples in this case, and he said, no, it's not because his mother or his father sinned. It's because that the works of God should be made manifested in him. In other words, God's glory is going to be manifested in him. He was once blind, but now he see unto the glory of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And then in verse 4, he goes on to say, but I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. We speak this so lightly. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus was always working, always on the scene, moving and grooving for the Lord. And this is what he said. He done stopped by, seen the blind man. The disciples want to stop and question him. Jesus said, I ain't got time for that. I must continue to do the work in which the Father has sent me to do. I'm not confused. I know what my job is, and this man is blind, that God is going to be glorified, that I'm going to lay hands, touch him, and he's going to be healed. That's the bottom line. So in verse 5 goes down and talks, and verse 5 goes down and says what? And as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So as long as Jesus knows, as long as he was living amongst the living, which he still is through his word to us today, he is yet still the light of the world as he was then. So in other words, I'm here to bring healing. I'm here to bring deliverance. I'm here to bring salvation unto the glory of God so that the world may see and may be saved. Verse 6, but when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground. Talk about a modern-day or pastime operation, and made clay out of the spittle. And he, yes, Mammy.
I have to interrupt in the middle of this sermon.
Okay. Listen, God is good. I just call in to rejoice with you, amen.
We just are caught on fire up in here.
Amen.
Up in here. God be the glory. You know,
amen.
I tell you, God's going to definitely give you that preaching platform, girl, because you got a preacher up in you, and you can help a preacher.
Listen, you know what the word said. Ain't no disciple no higher than his master, such as being you, Pastor Rebecca. So listen.
Pastor Sherry Jones.
Yeah. I tell
you, Minister Valerie Allen, she'll preach. You give her one text, she got a sermon. You hear me?
Listen, you know Pastor Rebecca always know how to pull it in, and I'm gonna be obedient to the leader. Listen, she knows that I love her and thank her for the opportunity, because it is a wonderful opportunity to be able to share
Amen.
The gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is what we're called
Amen.
To do as ministers of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
But Pastor Rebecca,
That's
I'm
right.
not going any further than what you said. That the Lord say, I'm just want to stop at verse 6. Is okay with you? Just to conclude that.
We gotta stop now because Pastor Emmy has spoken.
Amen.
So as I was saying something, he had just raised his hand because he's here
Amen.
With our marriage moment. So
Amen.
We're going to just obey the spirit of the Lord and just continue
Amen.
To. But he gave us some spiritual food to meditate on, to chew on, as
Amen.
Pastor Jerry Jones said. And the testimony I got from the chat room, that the testimony is just awesome. Awesome testimony to
Bless
the glory
God.
Of God. And, you know, just hold the whole, you always got some words. So, you know, sometimes we have to shift.
Amen.
To God be the glory. But I'm praising God for that testimony.
Bless God.
God bless you. Stay with
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca. It's been a pleasure. God bless you. God bless you, Pastor Sherry. God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen. I love her, and I love the God in her. She's just, when God's done much for you, it's hard to be quiet. And that she would have kept preaching, you would have heard it, because it goes on to talk about that in the text. Amen. So
Hold on, just bear with us. We're going to go into our marriage moments. Pastor Emily Simmons is here, and he is ready. So he has an appointment at 3. I'm going to, without any further delay, put him on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman. God bless you, honey. You're on the air.
Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is so mighty, amen, on this show today. And I'm being mighty blessed, amen, by the women of God that are on fire for God's kingdom. So I'm going to shift gears, and I am going to talk about marriage just for a moment. It's coming from Isaiah. You used reference to Isaiah, but Isaiah 43 says, verse 2, when you pass through the water, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Isaiah 43:18-19, remember ye the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And that blesses me. We actually preach that at our Watch Night service. But God wants me to use that as it pertains to marriage and today. Because we have to have the ability, you and I even being married almost 15 years this month, we as married people have to have the ability and capability of renewing our marriages, reinventing into our marriages, keeping the fires kindled, if you will. Because we need to make our marriages exciting. We need to allow our marriages to grow by the anointing and power of God. We need to allow our marriages to evolve into what God wants them to be. That's why the word says the two shall become one flesh. There's a process as it pertains to marriage. And as you gave a prophetic word earlier, I speak prophetically right now that this is the turning point of somebody's marriage on today. You've been praying, you've been fasting, you've been interceding on behalf of your spouse, and God says this is a season where you're going to see physical manifestation and physical evidence of your marriage starting to head in a good, right direction. Because he says, when you go through, I'm there with you. And I recognize that many marriages are going through. So that's why I said, you know, I remember when we first started dating, you took me to a play, Smokey Joe's Cafe. And I was so blessed by that, and I had such a great time, never seeing such singing and dancing. We had a great time over in the city. And then I called myself reciprocating, you know, the blessing and taking you to a play. I wanted to see that play Rent, but they were sold out. So I took you to see that play Cats. And I had no idea at the time that you wasn't too fond of Cats. But you went on and went to Garden Theater with me, and we had such a great time. We laughed, and we had a wonderful time. But, you know, we from the outset did things spontaneously. Even this weekend, I called and said, are we going to the city? Are we going to go to dinner? Are we going to do something just spontaneous at the spur of the moment? Because I want our marriage to remain exciting and not so predictable. And that's what I'm saying to couples today. You have the ability to keep your marriage on fire, to keep that marriage exciting, because there's too many spirits out here, and as you alluded to it earlier, Pastor Rebecca, too many believers are falling. Even married people are falling from the covenant of marriage. And God is saying you can be proactive. You can be way ahead of the devil. You can bind up that spirit that's trying to destroy your home if you allow God to pour in new wine, pour in new oil, pour in new revelation of how you can keep your marriage on the cutting edge. Because we need to keep our marriages exciting. We need to be excited and have that strong desire for one another. We need to allow God, although we are individuals, we need to allow God as a unit to bless our marriages and keep our marriages, amen, keep our marriages with zeal and tenacity for the kingdom of God. I remember one more thing I just want to talk about. Some people out there, and I know you have mostly women listening to you, they say, well, Pastor, I pray for this man. You know, he loves sports more than me. He's so into his career, and I can't get that attention because he's trying to climb that corporate ladder. I know he's doing it for us in our household, but I need some of that attention that he's giving to these other things. My wife would tell you, when we met, I was a diehard Raider fan.
If it was football
season, I was watching 3 football games a year. And today, I got to go and ask my buddies, well, did the Raiders win or who won, you know, the NBA title? Because now sports is not that important to me. What I'm trying to say is that those turning points and those pivotal points begin to happen in your marriage. And God says, behold, I do a new thing. And that husband that was so ingrained in sports, so consumed with sports, he right now is getting ready to give you the attention that you need. He's going to give you the affection that you need. He's going to give you the kind of things that you're looking for out of that husband. The same thing with that wife to that man of God. She's going to give you that attention, and she's going to make you the pivotal of her eyes, the main thing of her day. And we need to have new things poured into our marriages on a daily basis. God says, behold, I do a new thing. And I just want to say to your listening audience, he says, forget the former things. I know sometimes marriage, you've had some things that you could not get over. You still haven't forgiven that husband for what he did, and it happened years ago. You still have not let that spouse, that wife, be relinquished from that mistake that she made. And God is saying, forget the former things. Forgive. Let it go. Move past it. Because God wants to do a new thing in your marriage. But you got to cooperate. You got to be obedient. You got to agree with the word of God and let him do the new thing. He said he'll make a way in the wilderness. You know there's no way in the wilderness. He said he'll put a river in the desert. When it looks dead, when it looks like there's no resources, when it looks like there's no hope, here comes God putting a river right where you thought there was a famine. Glory be to God. So I want to encourage that married couple today. Keep on keeping on. Do something together. Go ahead and watch the fireworks. Some things don't cost a lot of money. Just get your blankets, get your lawn chairs, watch the fireworks this weekend. Do something spontaneous and keep that marriage exciting in the name of Jesus.
Wow. So what are we doing tonight, honey? Listen, please, whatever you do, don't take me to see cats.
I don't think it's open anymore, so you're safe.
Oh, my goodness. I took Pastor Anthony to see Smokey Joe's Cafe. And this was early when we were in our, I don't know if we were married yet or not. I think we were married. Yeah, we were married. And I told him, his birthday was in August. His birthday is in August. So I took him for his birthday to see Smokey Joe's Cafe, his very first Broadway play. So I told him, so we're leaving the theater, and there's this big billboard for the Winter Garden Theater, and these cats are on the billboard. So I said to him, I said, honey, whatever you do, don't ever take me to see cats, right? So we go to dinner, and we have dinner and everything. So my birthday comes 2 weeks after his. So he picks me up. I'm taking you out tonight, honey. We get dressed. We go over to the city. We drive. We go to New York. We park, and we start walking. I get this dreaded feeling in the middle of my stomach as we approach the Winter Garden Theater that this man is taking me to see cats. I couldn't believe it. I said, no, he's not taking me to see cats. You know, and at the time, I really didn't like cats. You know, I've grown more fond of cats. But I really, you know, I couldn't, because we always had to have a cat growing up when we grow up, and I didn't care. So, but we had them so much fun. We were laughing so hard. People were looking at us like, what in the world is wrong with these people? But we had so much fun that night at the Winter Garden Theater seeing cats. So I said that to say, be patient with each other. You know, extend grace. You know, he knew I didn't want to see cats. I know I didn't want to see cats, but I extended grace. And I went and saw cats and ended up having the time of my life. Sometimes we have to allow our spouses to do things for us that we think we don't want them to do, and then they end up blessing us anyway. So it's then grace. And then, again, Pastor Anthony, that was so powerful what you said. I want to reiterate forget the former things.
Amen.
Let yesterday be gone. It ended last night. And that's for those of you who are listening, whether you're married or not. The devil will use the things of the past to try to get you caught up and forfeit your future. The devil will make you try to use the things of the past against your mind to get you caught up in guilt so that you forfeit your future, and you don't want to forfeit your future. Amen. Yes, Sherry Jo, don't put it out there like that. She said, you don't like cats. I'm not that fond. Pastor Anthony said it right. I'm not that fond of cats. But it was so funny. So, Pastor Anthony, thank you so much, honey, for that word. And what you said about the fire, I just want to say, a word for you is in the chat room. Tracy is in the chat room, and she earlier, when Minister Valerie Allen was preaching, she was preaching in the chat room. And we got some preachers up in here today, and she was saying that you'll go through the fire. You talked about that fire, and she was saying you'll go through the fire, and you'll come out, and you won't even smell like smoke. And she said she's willing to go through the trials and tribulations, you know, because she knows. She says, I don't mind going through the hurt, trials, and tribulations because Yah will get all the glory. So she says she doesn't mind going through the trials and tribulations and even some of the pain that she knows she'll go through in life because God will get all the glory. And see, that's powerful right there. That's just so powerful. So I just want to give you by way of confirmation that we're just flowing so beautifully in the spirit today pertaining to marriage, that we got to extend grace. And I thank God that you took me to see cats.
You know, and that's powerful. That's why it says in Ecclesiastes the two, you know, are better than one because they got each other back. And as one of your callers talked about earlier, being accountable for one another, I thank God. That's why he says, as you see the day approaching, the day of evil, we need to assemble ourselves together. And I just want to say to the people of God, get back to church. You know, it's not time to leave church. And a lot of churches are cutting back on their programs. They're cutting back on how many days they're open a week. And this is the time we should be flooding our churches. This is the season where the world should see the church standing out and being the power that God ordained it to be in this world in which we live. We have so much power to bind up and to loose, but we need to begin to operate in that power. And again, our marriages are to last. Divorce is not an option. So you need to do what you need to do. Again, be innovative. Reinvent, rejuvenate, renew your marriage whenever it's needed, and you watch God get the glory. Because, you know, your marriage, like you said, Pastor Rebecca, you say it often, don't just be married for the sake of being married, but we want healthy marriages.
Happy, healthy marriages, yes. I want to be happy. You know, I don't want to be married forever and be miserable. I will be happily married. And that's a declaration I make. And the Pastor Sherry Jones was on the line with us earlier, Pastor Anthony, before you called in. And she was talking about the power of the word, you know, that this word, because I was preaching earlier, and she said that the word ministered to her because she has been going through warfare against her mind. And it was just so powerful that she was saying that she immediately went to the scripture and pulled out the scriptures that were applicable to her situation. And then she took those scriptures and began to meditate on them, to begin to mumble, to mutter, to chew on those scriptures. And that is just so important that we do not, and I asked her a question, well, what if the devil tells you that's no use? You know, you already know the word. You know, so many of us have so much word on the inside of us. What if the devil says that it's no use? And she was saying that it even starts with a thought, you know, that you have to begin, even if the thought comes into your mind to tempt you towards doing something that's, you know, outside of the will of God, to begin to immediately take authority over your thought life. And that's what the Bible tells us, to take every thought captive and make it obedient.
Amen. That's a powerful thing because, you know, when we're in the kingdom, we should be doing the will of God. God, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. As a single person, you should be about your Father's business. There's a lot to do for God's kingdom, and we need to keep ourselves busy for the things of God. And even in marriage, you said it earlier, you know, certain movies, certain spirits try to infiltrate your mind. There's certain things that sometimes people are viewing that spirit is trying to come into that marriage, into that home. You got to guard your heart. You got to guard your ear gate and your eye gate, and then you got to guard what you say out of your mouth. So it's up to us to protect our marriages and our children and our home, but it's also up to us to allow not this world. He says, no longer being conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And guess what? As your caller said earlier, we need to put new information sometimes in our mindset and do away with things that we are watching or viewing or hearing that's trying to destroy our marriages.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you so much, honey. And how important is it for us to be patient with each other? I know that you could probably share with us a little bit on the importance of exhibiting the spiritual fruit of patience.
It's a powerful thing. One of the scriptures that I stood on when we got married, it says, be slow to anger, slow to speak, quick to listen. And I became a better listener because sometimes you and I know this very well, that people enter into the marriage covenant, they come in with issues. Sometimes they come in with heavy baggage. I mean, stuff from the past. Some people are dealing with some weighty things that have bogged them down for a lifetime. So they come in knowing that this person was sent by God to help them sort out some of that stuff. So being patient with one another, and then as the time progressed, guess what? You become closer and closer, and then that spouse begins to confide more and more and trust in you more and more. And then you get to that healthy place where both of you are working out your soul salvation with fear and trembling. So don't trip when she's tripping, brothers. Don't. Guess what? Sometimes some things have happened, and she's going off on you, but it has nothing to do with you. And the same thing with me. The same thing with me. You know that anger, I come from a family of angry people, and that spirit was upon my life. So God had to get with me to deal with that issue of anger. And now that I've had the ability, like you said, that yoke has been destroyed, not broken, but destroyed. Guess what? That took some time. That's why we have the testimony of 15 years of marriage, because we evolved to get to this place. So if you're in the early stages of marriage, be encouraged. If you've been married for a long time and you feel it's getting dull, I'm going to tell you to be encouraged, because prophetically, as I speak today, this is the day where your marriage is going to turn around for the glory of God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Sherry Jones, she said good word earlier, Pastor Anthony, for the marriage moment when you came in and shared with us from the word of God in the book of Isaiah. And now she's just saying wisdom, you know, amen and yes, God. You know, so we receive that word in the name of Jesus, you know, that we will in due season, as I was saying earlier from the book of Galatians, that in due season we shall reap a harvest if we faint not. You know, and I just want to just put that out into the atmosphere. It's always too soon to give up. Wherever you are in your walk with God, I said it earlier, it's time for transition. God is transitioning you. Wherever you are, you can be a mature believer who's been walking with the Lord for a while. You could be a new Christian. You could be someone who's recommitting your life to Jesus Christ and starting over. You could be someone that even does not believe yet, but you're hearing the word and you're being drawn to the things of God. Wherever you are, God is transitioning you. It's a time of transition for the household of faith, and there is warfare against your transition because God knows the plans he has for you, and the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy those plans. So you have to make sure that you are not giving in to the wiles of the enemy. Stay sober and alert. Be sober and alert. Stay discerning of the times, of the seasons, and know that there is definitely warfare going on. And then put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God.
and continue to fight the good fight of faith. Enduring hardness is a good soldier. So we have to get that word in us, and we have to let that word begin to be what it is. It's life. It's power. It's spirit. You know, it's transformational. My God. And it's just so powerful when we truly look at our walk with God, not just as a religious experience, but when we look at it as life. You know, as really a way of living. You know, we're not having a religious experience with God. We're in a relationship with God the Father, the Holy Ghost, through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, we're in a relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So let that be your walk today. Amen. Pastor Emily, I'm going to ask people to call in, 646-652-4832, 646-652-4832. And I'm glad that so many people were blessed by the marriage moments. Did you have anything else, honey?
No, that's it. Just enjoy this holiday weekend. We get an extended weekend, and I pray to people of God have a nice, relaxing weekend.
Amen. I love you, and I just thank you publicly. I tell you, these marriage moments mean a lot to me because God is doing something in our marriage. I mean, hallelujah, God is doing something in our marriage. He is, we have a wonderful marriage. I just thank God for a wonderful marriage. But even the two of us are in transition, and there's a shift in our marriage. And God is, I don't know what he's doing with me, but he's doing something with me. He's doing something with my husband. And we're just in awe of what he's doing, and we're just thanking God. So, honey, I thank God for you for being patient with me because I know I'm up a lot of late nights. And I just thank God for your patience, you know, that you're being patient with me. Amen. So that's the end of our marriage moments. That was Pastor Anthony. It looks like he has transitioned to go to the next thing that he had to do. That's a hard-working man, I tell you. He works 6 days a week, still takes time to be on the Woman to Woman show with me. He preaches. He's a preaching, teaching man of God. He covers us, the church. And by the way, if you're looking for a church home, come over to New Creation Christian Ministries. We're at 87 First Street in Elizabeth, New Jersey. We would love to have you come over and experience God with us. But I thank God for him. He's truly a leader, a man of integrity, a man of character, and of a good reputation. And I just love him. Amen. I thank God for him. We celebrate our 15-year anniversary this month. We celebrate our 15-year anniversary. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I love my husband. I love him. Amen. So the phone lines are open, 646-652-4832. I'll call in and let your voice be heard. Minister Valerie Allen, God bless you. God bless you.
I'm sorry. God bless you, Pastor Rebecca. I've had the phone on mute, actually, too.
Amen. I wanted to give you an opportunity just to do verse 6 as we want to finish verse 6.
Listen, well, bless God. Thank you. I'm still chewing on the marriage moments. I enjoyed that as well. And bravo to you and Pastor Anthony Simmons for always coming on and collaborating with the marriage moments. Such a blessing even for us single folks back here, too, to hear and receive, thus said the Lord, because the word is for everybody.
Amen.
So I thank God for that. So, listen, God is good. Thank you. I apologize, Pastor Anthony, for not backing up. Should have backup so you can go forth and with the marriage moment. Praise God. But thank you, Pastor Rebecca, again, without further ado. Verse 6 in John 9. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. What I was stating earlier as was leaping in my spirit, talk about your amazing, if you will, modern day surgery. Jesus didn't have, you know, equipment like they had in, you know, an operating room, things of that nature. And I was just looking at the word and I said, wow, God, he just simply had spoken and he spat. spat on the ground, and he made clay out of the spittle and then anointed the man's eyes so that he can see. And it's so oftentimes, you know, that's all that we need. We think we need more so than just the word. That's all that we need is the word. All we need to do is speak the word into our circumstance, into our situation, as you and Pastor were so profoundly just speaking with God to the marriage moments, into our marriage, just into our lives in general, and knowing that God is. He is able to do everything and everything but fail. So I thank God for his word, and to understand that he knew, he was very much aware of the blind man's circumstance and situation, but thank God he passed by. He was on a mission, and when he passed by, thank God, he stopped. He didn't do like the, you know, like the story tells us in Matthew and some of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, where the Good Samaritan had just come on the scene where the other bypassers just passed the guy right on by. But thank God he doesn't pass us by. He do see and he does hear, and he definitely answers our prayers. Even if we had an affliction from birth on up into a midlife crisis, God is there. So I thank God for that. You know, it is not always based upon, based upon a sin in your life. If you had sin, like what disciples was trying to say, it's just to bring God's glory, you know, into your life. And so I just thank God for the word on today. You know, most of the times as we're learning through this word, as God has, you know, profoundly spoke to you, Pastor Rebecca, is just to simply let us know and in agreement with you and understanding that when things do happen in our lives, such as the case with Job, who was minding his own business, God saw fit for Satan to touch his life, because it was his will that was being done. So when these afflictions come, whether they're from birth again repeating, and when it just happens at any point in time in life, it's that, and that you are a child of God, of the Most High King, it is intended for God to bring glory in your life, which is the bottom line. And God can take anything and make anything out of nothing. Again, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for Jesus, because I do understand, you know, we sing the song that I was blind, I was lost, I was once lost, but now I see, I was once lost, but now I found, I was blind, and now I see. I think we can so much put that appropriately here with this, with these verses right here in John 1 through 6 is maybe where the song may have derived from, because this blind man was born from birth. He was lost. He couldn't see, didn't have no sense of direction. But when Jesus passed by, thank you, glory, hallelujah, Jesus, his eyes was open. So now I was blind, but now I see. I see the new, I see the light. As Jesus said, he's the light of the world. I see the light. I can see. He can see naturally now, and he can see spiritually. Because we know as we went on down, people were asking as he went and was able to see the manifestation of the glory of God, and was asking, well, who what happened? How were your eyes open? He was like, he was wasn't even able to, you know, explain it, but we can. We can say and know that this is how we understand what Revelation tells us, that we are overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Because through testimony, when we speak the word in our story, comes healing, deliverance, restoration for not just our lives, but for someone else's life. So thank you, Pastor Rebecca, so much for allowing me to give a summation in regards to being so inspired and encouraged by the word God had given you.
Amen. And I wanted to get back to that, you know, amen. Praise the Lord, Pastor Rebecca here. We just welcome you to the Woman to Woman broadcast. And there's a question in the chat room. No, actually, this is not my first marriage. I was married in my 20s before I was saved, and I met Pastor Emily in my 30s. And at that point, when I met Pastor Emily, I was determined that I would never get married again, because it was just, my first marriage was just, I mean, it was just a farce. I was a young woman, pregnant at 15, mother at 16, met my husband when I was 8, met this man that I married at when I was 20. I met him when I was 18, and moved out of my mother's house because I wanted to be free. Started shacking up with my ex. And after 2 years of shacking up, I made him marry me, because somewhere in my little lost mind, I knew I wanted to be married. I always wanted to be married. I wanted this fairy tale life where I would be happily married after, because that's how all of my fairy tales ended, happily ever after. And I married this man, and the day after I married him, I woke up and realized that I had made a big mistake in marrying him. I woke up and I was like, what in the world did I just do? And I cursed, you know, like, what in the world? I married him, and I was sober then, you know, because we had the reception, and we got drunk, and we both slept on the couch. And woke up the next day, and I'm looking at this man, and I'm like, I can't believe I married him. I came to my senses, but it was too late. We were already married. We broke up. We separated, and we separated for quite a few years before I actually divorced him, because I used him as a shield. I was like, as long as I'm married to him, I'll never get married again. You know, it was like he was my protection, so to speak. But I thank God that he sent me Pastor Anthony, you know, and I was in adultery because I didn't even know it. You know how you're in sin, you don't even know you're in sin because I'm out here in relationships, but I got a husband. But in my mind, my husband was not my husband, you know, it was just weird. It was weird. Like Minister Valerie Allen was just saying, I was blind. But now I see, and that's why this particular text is so powerful to me, and that's why I was going to say it just tied. Your question, Tracy, ties right into what I was getting ready to say, that I truly was blind. It's amazing grace, you know, that saved a wretch like me, because I was blind, but now I see. And that first marriage, I married a man that didn't want to be married to me, didn't know how to treat me, was having some questions about his sexual orientation, would disappear and stay gone for all night long, wouldn't spend time with me, he wasn't even that attractive, you know, but I was desperate, you know, I just wanted a man, you know, and I just settled, and I settled for less, but God had something else for me, amen, God had something else for me, and I just thank God for what he had for me, that he sent Pastor Anthony into my life. Amen. And I thank God for you. Tracy said, I thank Yah. You know, there was a time back in the biblical days when the people of God had such a reverence for God that they wouldn't say God. They would say Yahweh or Yah. And she said, you know, she says, I thank Yah for you, women of Yah, okay? I've never been married, and I am in my early 40s, and I'm starting to think I will be an old maid in the Lord. And again, watch your thought life. If you have a desire to be married, Tracy, the Lord will meet you. As you delight yourself in him, there is a possibility the Lord will meet you in that desire. God already has the plan. He already has established the plan. It's like David said, before I even lived a day, all of my days were written in your book. So God already knows what he has planned for you. And I didn't think I would ever be married again. But here I am 15 years later, not only married, but remember I told you I was a mother at 16. I said I wouldn't have any more kids. But I married a man with two boys, and then now I'm going on 19 and 24. And then we had a daughter who's 13. So, and I'll be 50 next month. So I never thought that all of this would take place in my life, but it did. And like you were saying earlier, Tracy, let the Lord's will be done. But do not confess if you're not content to be single. Just say that I thank God that my husband is looking for me, and I believe by faith that he'll find me. You know, so God will send you the desires of your heart. Ask God if that's really what he has for you, to be single, because he may have a better plan. And if we pray and ask him, he will reveal that plan to us. And not only will he reveal the plan, but he will send us promise, just like he sent it to Abraham. So powerful, powerful commentary. Marriage is sweet. It's sweet. So listen, we only have 13 minutes. The phone lines are open, 646-652-4832. Let your voice be heard. If you want to speak with me, this is Pastor Rebecca. You can come tune in and call in and talk to me. Amen. Talk to me. Minister Valerie Allen's here. We've been talking about John. I started something to her from the book of John, chapter 9, when we were talking about the blind man. But I just want to say this, too. I was so blind. You know, just really, really so blind. And I thank God for even Minister Valerie coming in and bring that particular text back, because that's why it caught my spirit. Because look at what God has done in my life today. Listen, I was just so lost. I mean, smoking weed for breakfast, drinking Colt 45 for breakfast, looking for love in all the wrong places, broken, busted, disgusted. I had so many issues. Like Pastor Anthony talked about issues that I didn't know what to do. Dropped out of high school at 17. Went on welfare at 16. Welfare, food stamps. Like I said, drugs, alcohol, relationships. Not knowing who I was. Just totally blind. Not only blind spiritually, but blind physically, because I wore what they would call very thick glasses as a young child from the age of 8 until... from 8 on until adulthood, my vision was like a minus 17, minus 20. And let me tell you how powerful this scripture is. I didn't sin, my mama didn't sin, my daddy, maybe they sinned, maybe they did sin, but I certainly had committed no sin, and I was born with this impaired vision. And not only that, but I've been through the fire, was burned in the fire when I was about 5 years old, so I have a scar, so I have to go through the life scarred and blind. But I thank God. See, everything's prophetic and how he's using it for his glory, you know, to the point where 3 years ago in 2008, I developed cataracts in both of my eyes, and I couldn't see. So now I go to the doctors, and my glasses are already like an inch and a half thick. And they could, no matter what they put in front of me, I couldn't see. I was literally blind. I couldn't see. The big E was a big blur. And the doctor was like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. And she sent me to a specialist, and they diagnosed me with cataracts in both eyes. Mm. And they said it was going to get progressively worse, so I had to go through surgery in both of my eyes in 2008. November 2008, I had the right eye done, and in December 2008, I had the left eye done. But prior to that, I had started to confess. I had been watching Pastor Creflo Dollar, and he said every night he would say he has 20/20. So I had started to confess that I had 20/20 vision as I took my glasses off and put them on the nightstand. And when they told me in the doctor's office that I couldn't see, I said, they were concerned. I said, don't be concerned, because God's given me 20/20. Little did I know my words were going to manifest, because I went to the surgeon. They did surgery on both of my eyes, and today I declare and can tell you that I have 20/20 vision.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I don't need glasses. Haven't worn glasses for 3 years. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
As God did with my physical sight, he's done
glory
with my spiritual
God.
Sight.
Glory
where
to
I could
God.
Truly say I was blind, but now I see. See,
ooh,
see, God is
God.
Able. Hallelujah.
Lord,
that's why I praise him. That's why I worship him. I know his word is true, and I know there's power in his word. Hallelujah. God is an awesome God.
Yes,
if we just trust him, if you just trust God and allow him to do his work in your life, allow his will to be done, God is going to manifest his glory. He's going to show
his
glory, his magnificence in your life. Hallelujah. Mm. God is a healer. He's a redeemer. He's a deliverer.
Yes,
listen, God used Jesus used dirt. He spit in the dirt
come
and put
on.
That dirt, that clay on the man's eye. God used a physician to give me anesthesia in my eye. He used the hands of a physician to mold my eyes.
Jesus, go ahead with that. Go ahead with it, preacher.
My God. We serve an awesome God.
Yes, we do.
We serve an awesome God.
Yes,
people,
we do.
God. Nothing. Listen. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible
nothing,
for God.
God.
Whatever.
Nothing,
whatever
God.
It is today.
Ooh, Jesus.
Nothing is possible. God could take what was, look like he said, Pastor Anthony said he'll make a way in the wilderness. He'll make a highway in the wilderness.
Come on.
My God. We know there's no highway, no pathway
Jesus.
In the book for somebody. We serve
Lord
an awesome
Jesus.
God.
And we'll split, split a river. Lord Jesus.
He will split a river and let you walk through on dry ground.
Come on.
And then he will bring that water back to converge against your enemies.
Come
on. Come
on.
He tells God is able. Our God is able.
Yes, he is.
So you be encouraged on today. I mean, it's amazing. That scripture speaks to me because I don't need glasses. I don't need reading glasses. Every once in a while in the sunlight, I'll have a hard time seeing because my the glare. But God.
Look at God.
But
God.
But God.
But God. But God.
But God.
Ooh, glory be to God. You're right, Pastor Rebecca. This is why we praise him, because God has been so good to us. Just when you did take a moment just to think about his goodness based on the word that he gave you today, when you begin to think about it and all he did for you, look how your soul began to cry out, hallelujah. Thank you, God, for saving me. Woo, Jesus. This is why we praise him. Praise is what we do. We owe it all to him. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, Jesus.
What Tracy is saying in the chat room, she said, thank you, Jesus. You truly are a healer. And she's been praising God in the chat room. And Sherry, Pastor Sherry says, preach, preacher, amen. Because we got the, I can't help, listen,
come on.
Can't help preach this gospel.
Come on.
And that's why I was saying about 2 minutes of Valerie Allen. You know, you got that word in you, because to whom much is given, much is required.
Lord,
but not only
this,
but Jesus asked the disciples, who's going to love me more? You know, the person that I did more for, the person that I did less for. But when God has done so much for you, you can't help but love him. And let me just say it like this, too. When he's done so much for you, you can't help but praise him.
Yes.
Because he is just so awesome. And let me tell you something else, Tracy, as you were asking in the chat room about my husband, God sent Pastor Emily into a bar, you know, to find me, to evangelize me. And it was Pastor Emily that took me to church and helped me to find, helped me to find Jesus. Jesus was a loss, but helped me to find out who Jesus really was.
Amen.
And to
receive
him into my life. And to receive him into my heart. And that's what I'm telling you. Listen, if God could use a mule, a donkey, to talk to a prophet who was on the wrong path, God could send a man into your life. God could and God could stop you from sinning, and God could hold you and keep you in your right mind when you feel like you're going to lose your mind.
Yes,
and God can heal your body, and God can heal your broken heart.
Oh,
my
testimony
is just so great. I mean, broken, busted, disgusted. Look
come
at the
on.
Loving. All the wrong places, drunk, high. You know, me, that's me. You know,
listen,
I've been there.
You ain't
that
alone. You ain't alone. Oh, Jesus.
I just thank God for his mercy. I thank him for his grace and that brought me through, that brought me out of that mess of the life that I'm in. And you might be listening in this last 5 minutes, and you say, you know what, I hear you, but I'm struggling. And I pray that you heard Pastor Sherry Jones, when she said, when the thought even enters your mind, get to somebody and destroy that yoke by the power of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Shine the light, she said, shine the light on the devil. Shine the light on the devil. Don't suffer in darkness, and don't suffer in shame, and don't suffer in guilt. And let the devil, there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. As soon as you see yourself going down that slippery slope, and it starts in your mind, it gets you to a place where you can begin to talk to somebody. There's safety in a multitude of counselors.
Yeah.
And then get your word, get your concordance. And she said, you don't have a concordance, the Holy Ghost will show you. But
That's not only
that, but if you go to crosswalk.com or if you get a Bible app on your phone, you'll be able to go right to that scripture. I have 2 or 3 Bibles on my phone.
Amen.
Because I need to know the word when I need to know the word.
Amen.
And then begin to meditate on that word. Don't just read the word, but put that word in your mouth. She said, I love it. Pastor Sherry Jones said, you have to walk the floor and declare God's word as you walk in the floor. Then walk the floor, but let that word emanate from your mouth so it could come back and bounce into your ear gates. You need it in your ear gates, your eye gates, and coming out of the gate of your mouth. Ear gates, your eye gates, and the gate of your mouth. Confess that word. God's going to do it for you. He did it for me. He did it for Pastor Anthony. He did it for one day. I'm going to have Pastor Sherry Jones come and give her testimony. He did it for her. He did it for Minister Valerie Allen.
Amen.
And he did it for Kathy and Ray Jones, and he can do it for you. He can do it for you. He did it for Erica Anderson. God did it for so many of us. He did it for Tracy. He can do it for you. God can do it for you. He is no respecter of person.
Amen.
God. Hallelujah.
Thank God.
Bless you, Tracy. I see you there. God bless you. God bless you. Come back and see me. Amen. Pastor Emily, God bless you. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for our marriage moments. We are 3 minutes, 2 minutes. Minister Valerie Allen, as we go off the air, I just didn't know if you had anything else you wanted to say.
To God be the glory. for the great things that he just keep on doing, because he loves us and he just keep on blessing us. Pastor Becca, thank you so much for the Empower Word today. Pastor Sharon, Sherry, thank you so much for coming and allowing Lord to use you. I received that word too on today, and I just thank God for the word, because the word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is indeed the discerner of the heart. God's word will go and do that which you said it would, was intended to do. So we thank God for the word on today, and that it will go and it will grow and it will prosper in that which it was sent to, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Bless you, Pastor Rebecca. Such a pleasure. Such a pleasure to be able to sup with you and fellowship with the word sincerely. Thank you so much for always and often allowing the opportunity. Thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you. You're welcome, woman of God. Minister Valerie Allen, she's just such a blessing. She's a member of our local assembly and also a big help to me in everything that I do for the Lord, and I just thank God for her. God bless you. We're in our last 45 seconds. I want to thank everybody. Thank our guest, 392. I pray that you were blessed. You've been with us the whole time, and all of our guests in the chat room and on the phone lines who didn't speak on today. God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in with us. Join us at the church. If you're looking for a church home, New Creation Christian Ministries, 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. Connect with me on Facebook. There's a powerful word there, position for miraculous manifestation. You'll be blessed. Join us at the Women to Women Empowerment Group. And also, we're having a fellowship. We're having a fellowship service on Friday, July the 15th, where we have three powerful preachers coming, Minister Rebecca, Minister Anthony Williams, and Sister Tina Lane, amen, will be coming forth with the word of God. Can you praise him under pressure? That's the question, amen. That's over at the New Creation Christian Ministries on the 15th, Friday the 15th at 7:30 p.m. And then on the 30th, we'll be having another Covered Dish Fellowship for the Woman to Woman Empowerment Group at 7 o'clock p.m., 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. You can register on Facebook. I'll be sending out the invitation soon. On the 23rd, we'll be having our second online fellowship for the Women to Women Empowerment Group, and we're just excited about everything that God is doing. Join the Women to Women Empowerment Group on Facebook so that you can just continue to be empowered on a daily basis. I see you out there, Erica. I want you to know that I love you. I love you, daughter. You are just a blessing to me, and God has great things in store for you. Keep on keeping on with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I see you. I believe I see Tina Lane. God bless you, Tina. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning and enjoy your 4th of July weekend.
Amen.
And like our old pastor used to tell us, Bishop Hilliard used to tell us, remember who you belong to as you're out there at the cookout, as you're out there, you know, get your can of pop, get you a hot dog and a burger and be content. If you smell that reefer, get you move your place. It's time to get you another go in the house. Stay outside smoking reefer. You know you've been delivered from reefer. Get you another place, go in the house. They're in the house with some cocaine. Time to get your hat, baby. Time to get your purse and say, I'll see you. I got some place to be. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But don't fall into the temptation. Guard your heart. Meditate on the word of God. Know that it's warfare in your transition. Know that God is taking you higher. Amen. And continue to allow the Lord to take you higher. Pastor Sherry Jones, God bless you. She said, praise God, my sisters. Bless you, Pastor Rebecca and Minister Allen.
Amen.
So God bless you.
Amen.
And I'm going to say it. Mr. Allen, did you say something?
I just said amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Tune in next week right here at 1 o'clock. Listen, spread the word. Spread the word. Listen, if you're on Facebook, take this and do, even Mr. Allen, I see you started to do, repost this show, the notification for the broadcast. Repost it on your page and let people know about the Woman to Woman show. We need this. This show is going to be syndicated.
Amen.
We're going to be syndicated. We're going to be heard around the world. And they're going to know about the Woman to Woman show broadcast. Amen. So let some people know about it. Tell your friends, tell your foes, tell everybody you know about the Woman to Woman show. So as I say always, know that God loves you, and so do I. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. And I'm going to play Prashea Hilliard, Fresh Fire. God bless you.
Holy Spirit, you're welcome.